This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to another episode of Echoes of Dissent, a weekly podcast that explores the events, the movements, the beliefs and the personalities. In short, the why a song of protest, a song of dissent was written and sung, and who created it. We look at its impact at the time and its relevance to today, if any. From the outset, it is of importance to state that the Samdi have not been subjected to discrimination by the state. The question then is, what is meant by the concept of ethnicity? If it is to be claimed that the Samdi is an ethnic group, my name is Frank Carter, and what you have just heard was not a dramatic reading. It was a lawyer in a courtroom in Sweden in 2015, overlaid by my English translation, of course. The lawyer was speaking on behalf of the Swedish state, arguing that a people who have lived across the northern arc of Europe, it's not just in Sweden, but across Norway and Finland, for 10,000 years may not legally exist as a people. This week, Sofia Janok, a Swedish Sami singer, songwriter, activist, Joika, and reindeer owner from Gällivare in the far north of Sweden, and a song called We Are Still Here, released in November 2015. 3 months after that courtroom recording was made. Most protest songs build their argument slowly versus that accumulate evidence, a chorus that delivers a verdict. Sofia Czarnek does the opposite. She compresses 1,000 years of the dispossession into a song you can hold in one hand. Every word is load-bearing. And she begins, before a note is sung, with that lawyer, that calm, professional voice telling a court that his state has not discriminated against a people it has been displacing through flooding, mining, and relocating for 3 centuries. She doesn't argue with him. She just lets you hear him, and then she sings. Let's go through this. And before we move into the actual words, we need to consider the yoik. The yoik is fundamental to the argument and the identity of the Sami. The yoik is the sound before the words. It is a call. It is a call to your friend. It is a call to your animals. It is a call that goes back centuries, millennia. And in this song, Sofia Czarnek is yoiking across the continents. She is yoiking not just from the Sami, she's yoiking from the Sami across to America and across to all other indigenous nations that have been displaced by colonialism, by invasion, by mining, by law. So we look at the first verse and we look at all of the song in the frame of the yoik. In this line, the opening to this song, kill the bison, dig out the reindeer's land. 7 words, 2 continents, 1 sentence that does what a documentary takes an hour to establish. The bison is the animal at the center of Plains independence, indigenous life in North America. And it was deliberately slaughtered by the US military in the 19th century. Not as collateral damage, but as policy. Remove the animal, remove the culture, remove the people's reason to exist on the land. The reindeer is the equivalent animal for the Sami, the economic, spiritual, and ecological foundation of their way of life. Both animals in one line across the continents, across the cultures, across the world. This pairing is the song's most important structural choice. By yoiking Sápmi to North America in a single breath, Czarnek is making a legal and philosophical argument that the colonial pattern is universal. The Swedish state's lawyer in that courtroom had argued that theories of indigenous rights developed by North America and Australia simply don't apply to Lapland. This line is her direct answer. It applies everywhere because it is the same pattern. And it is still happening. Mining operations in Sápmi today are documented to cut off reindeer migration routes and destroy viable grazing lands. The diggers are real. They are operating now. The next line. This is where Sofia continues her yoik across the continents, across the world. Drown the lavu, burn the teepee down. The lavu is the traditional Sami portable dwelling, functionally equivalent to the teepee of the plains people. Sofia Czarnek is not using the word drown as a metaphor. In the 1950s, hydropower expansion in northern Sweden was dramatic and deliberate, and it literally flooded Sami grazing lands and living areas. Communities were displaced by rising reservoir water. The lavu was drowned. Actual lavus in actual floods created by actual dams. This is the line that connects the destruction of indigenous Northern Europe Sami community with devastated communities throughout the world. In the next clip, we see the open cast cobalt mine gradually swallowing a community of 500,000 in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Kolwezi is a community that's living on the edge, and the edge keeps coming closer as the cobalt mine consumes everything in its path. In some cases, entire neighbourhoods have literally been wiped off the map.
From that moment, you know, soldiers with guns and us, villagers in the fields, We were so afraid as they burned down the houses.
Sophia Yanox, we are still here, embraces such communities as she pivots to resilience and action in the next line. Every line so far has described destruction. The next line describes reconstruction. The Lavu can be drowned, another is raised. This is the philosophical pivot at the centre of the song. It is why it functions as a protest song. We raise new ones, survivors we are now. Yanox says at her concerts, whatever happened yesterday, you are still here. The Gurdjieff community fought the Swedish state through the courts and won their case. Communities across the world are fighting mines and degradation of water supplies, poisoning of the soil, destruction of their communities, as the earth is stripped of metals such as lithium and cobalt, so vital for the seemingly insatiable demand for batteries in our phones, our cars, our power storage. Survivors we are now, present tense, ongoing, not past. A recent episode of Echoes of Dissent saw Neil Young's plea to care for Mother Earth. In last week's episode, Adam McGrath urged communities to stand up, fight back through resilience and working together. The chorus. Four words repeated four times across the song. It is simultaneously the simplest and the most radical statement available to a people whose legal existence a government lawyer has just contested in court. When Sophia Yanox says here, she means Sápmi, the specific land, the specific rivers, the specific mountains, whose names exist in Sami languages that predate the Swedish state by millennia. We do not talk about nature, she has said. We are nature. There is nothing in between. To be still here is to be still part of the living system that the mining companies, data center developers, are treating as a resource to be extracted. Verse 2 is perhaps the sharpest couplet in the song. There we have the Yoik, of course, calling out not just the Swedish government, but calling out to the rest of the world, not just for the Sápmi territory, but to all indigenous communities, resilient, but also explaining to the rest of us, steal our mothers, thieves are not to blame. That's when laws are written by the same. This is the sharpest verse in the song, and arguably one of the most precise formulations in modern protest music. It needs to be heard slowly. Steal our mother. The land is not a resource, not a territory, not an asset. As Neil Young so clearly told us a few weeks ago, it is the mother. In Sami understanding, there is no boundary between the people and the land they inhabit. The land is not owned, it is belonged to. We hear this from indigenous communities across the world. The next part. Thieves are not to blame. It's a provocation. If the extraction of land, water and material wealth, mineral wealth is legal, is it theft? Yanox's answer is embodied in the next line. That's when laws are written by the same. 11 words that describe the entire colonial legal system. And colonial doesn't necessarily mean invasion of another country. What we're seeing here, of course, is a part of a country being taken legally by the government, by the state, and by the miners. The law that says mining here is permissible was written by the same state that benefits from the mining. The planning regulation. Now, before we go any further, the state, of course, is a nebulous sort of concept. But when we think of the state, we must also think of the rest of us that are part of the state, that are the state, that make up the state. So the state is not just something that's out there. It is us as well. The planning regulation that approves a mine or data center or farmland is written by a government that receives lobbying from the technology industry. The water extraction rights that allow an agricultural corporation to drain an aquifer were negotiated by legislators who will not bear the consequences. This is not cynicism, it's just an analysis of the structure, analysis of how it works. And it applies to data centres in County Clare, the Nevada desert, the cobalt mines in the Democratic Republic of Congo, as clearly as it applies in Gällivare in Sweden. In Nevada, we see the site of an historical massacre turned over for lithium mining.
It's going to directly affect my people, my culture, my religion, my traditions. It's literally desecrating a massacre site of my people. And I'm worried that these environmental issues and these cultural issues are directly going to affect my children, the children after that, and children after that. And to me, that's cultural genocide.
One of the protesters against the Thatcher mine, the development of lithium mining on her territorial, her traditional land, that was the site of a massacre of 169 of her ancestors, some 170, 180 years ago. Sophie Janok does not stand alone. There is a global tradition of music that has articulated exactly this argument. The destruction of rural, indigenous and farming communities by extractive industries and the use of legal systems designed by those industries to legitimise the destruction. As mentioned previously, Mother Earth National Anthem by Neil Young and Crazy Horse featured on a recent episode of Echoes of Dissent. Midnight Oil sang it in the Australian outback. The Mapuche artists of southern Chile are now fighting lithium operations with the same songs their grandparents used against Pinochet in the 1970s and the 1980s. We are still here. We are still here. The Gurdjieff's case, which inspired the song, was eventually won by the Sami community. In 2020, Sweden's Supreme Court ruled that the Gurdjieff Sami village has the sole right to manage small-scale hunting and fishing on their ancestral land, overturning the state's position. The lawyer and the state in the recording were wrong. The courts eventually said so, but winning in court and winning on the ground are different things. Mining permits in Sápmi are still being issued by the government. The machinery of extraction does not stop because one community wins one case. What protest songs do, and what this song does, is refuse to allow the normalisation of the process. You cannot hear "We Are Still Here" and think of mining permits as simply paperwork and somebody else's problem. You cannot hear the state's attorney's voice followed by a yoik and pretend they are equally weighted. The song forces a confrontation between the bureaucratic and the human, and it is absolutely clear which one it stands with. Sofia Janok has said, the national media in Sweden are only now opening their eyes to what is happening in Sápmi, because music is bringing these things to the fore. And here we begin to unpack the tension between the devastation of indigenous communities as the flip side of the clean, green lithium and cobalt that is in the Mother Earth these communities are part of. Sofia Janok is a voice for those communities as we begin to recognise the damage created by lithium mining, explained in this clip.
Lithium is a highly toxic element that can harm the environment. It's poisonous to plants and animals, so when it's released as part of mining activities, there will be an impact on the surrounding area. Lithium can affect water bodies by turning them into toxic wastelands.
That's an explanation of the impact of lithium mining. Of course, lithium is there in the soil. So one would ask, if it's there in the soil, why isn't it already poisoning the water supplies in the soil? And we find that it's the actual act of mining it that disturbs the soil. The lithium, of course, is an integral part of the rock structure of the territory, the land, the environment. Then, of course, the mining activity extracts the lithium. And as we know, from any mining, especially open cast mining, there is waste. There are the tailings. There's the devastation. There's the big holes in the ground, the dust. And as this clip explains, the waste obviously does contain some lithium, and it continues to destroy, or begins to destroy, water supplies and land, making them unfit for habitation. So as noted earlier, we begin to unpack the tension. We begin to see the tension between the devastation of indigenous communities as the other side, the unseen side, the unheralded side of the clean, green climate movement. The movement which is justified, absolutely. We do know that there is an issue with increasing temperatures around the world. And we do know that a lot of the chemicals that we're using, continue to use, are destroying our environment. So there is this natural move towards things like lithium and cobalt because they are, on the face of it, seen as clean, green and friendly. However, as we have seen, they are also extremely destructive, just like the old coal mines were. Is there a realistic alternative? Well, science, technology is wonderful because we see throughout history as technologies begin to be developed, and then we see the bit of the downside of them. The horse and cart has been replaced by, of course, motor vehicles. And of course, for decades, we didn't really see a problem with the use of petrol and oil. Now we're seeing that. Now we're seeing the downside of lithium and cobalt, the materials that go into our EVs, our batteries, and our phones, our day-to-day lives, other alternatives. Science is beginning to find some. A lot of work actually being done on sodium-ion batteries, which can provide batteries and power for local transport. Science hasn't yet got them from here down to Wellington. Sodium-ion batteries will be with us within a couple of years and at a price comparable to EVs. But the big plus about sodium-ion batteries is, of course, that we use lithium in a lot of storage batteries, and sodium ion would be ideal for these. So there is research going on. Does this research, does the beginning of our understanding of the impact of lithium mining, cobalt mining and so on, give us the opportunity to extend the fair trade and ethical investment model to the villages in the Democratic Republic of Congo, the Paiute of Nevada, the Sami of Northern Europe, and across the world, other indigenous communities across the world? Does the powerful, well-organized climate change movement support such communities, or is it oblivious to their plight? Could justice for indigenous communities be the next consumer, investor, and ethical shareholder and voter revolt? And if so, which leaders, which corporate or government will simply shrug their shoulders? You know, you get the shareholders and they put their hands up and they say, we believe that you're not doing it right. And the governance goes, oh, yeah, okay, thank you. Thank you very much for your comment. We hear what you're saying. Is that what's going to happen? Is that what most of them are going to do? And which ones will cynically say, send me an email, or come and visit my office in your EV, showing and actually putting the questioner down because we have lithium in our cars and our phones and our laptops? Which ones will say the cost is too high? And which ones will ask the question, how do we do better? To the dinosaurs and the cynics, you will be left behind. To those who say the cost is too high, an awakening. Just do the numbers. Lithium in an average car battery costs about $150. A laptop, about $1. Mobile phones, 5 cents to 15. We would not notice an extra 50% on the cost of the lithium in our cars, in our laptops, in our mobiles. To develop environmentally friendly mining techniques and just resources for disrupted communities. And to those who ask, how do we do better? They will be the leaders. One method of this is very close. Could sodium-ion batteries, instead of lithium, be part of a solution for stationary and local transport? I find that within a couple of years, we can expect vehicles in New Zealand with sodium-ion batteries. Now, these will only be suitable for around town stuff because the range at the moment is 150 to 200 Ks and they have to be recharged after that. But they do recharge very quickly, much faster than an EV. And of course, they'd be much cheaper. Sophia Yanok's Yoik goes out to all of us, drawing our attention to communities around the world still being exploited and devastated for the sake of a few extra dollars on our cars, a few extra cents on our phones and our laptops. Are we as consumers of EVs, laptops, mobile phones and home storage batteries going to start asking if the lithium has been ethically mined? Not quite as easy as fair trade bananas, coffee or chocolate, but it might be something worth figuring out how to do it. The Yoik from Sophia Yanok across the continents, across the oceans, around the world to the indigenous communities. And perhaps a Yoik to us to think about where our lithium, cobalt and our rare earth mines are coming, minerals are coming from, and figure out alternatives and applaud those scientists that are working on it. And perhaps to accept a few extra dollars for the communities that are devastated. Next week on Echoes of Dissent, Burka Blue, a choice inspired by two Hamilton girls' high school students disturbed by a government that denies education to girls after year six. This program, along with all previous episodes of Echoes of Dissent and indeed all Access Media programs, is available on your local go-to podcast platform and accessmedia.nz and, of course, freefm.org.nz. Thank you very much for listening. Bye.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.